Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that, honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. This week's story is a listener suggestion. Thank you to Barb for bringing Hemi stories to my attention. Stating the obvious here, but I've lived in Australia all of my life, and I've actually never heard of Hemi's story. His story didn't get the nationwide attention others of child abuse and murder receive. Maybe there was a bit of victim blaming here that may have caused that. But I just see two parents who did all they could for their children, and they reacted in a situation the only way they could to get things done. Please be kind in the comments. March 2015, Maramba, Queensland, Australia. Two parents needed to travel almost a day away for a specialist appointment, with no family nearby to mind their two toddlers overnight, entrusting a long-term family friend with their care. Hemi and his sister should have been safe. However, only hours after speaking to the babysitter, the parents would receive a panicked text message that would devastate their lives forever. This is Hemi's story.
Received a phone call from my mum saying Hemi's not well, and we had to call the police.
Hemi Goodwin Burke had suffered more than 70 bruises to his abdomen, a broken rib, ruptured internal organs, and a severed brainstem. He died in Townsville Hospital.
Hemi Les Goodwin Burke was born September 23, 2013 in Townsville, Queensland, to parents Kerry Ann Goodwin and Shane Burke. He was the second child born to the couple, who already had a little girl 18 months earlier. The two children were extremely close, as you would expect for siblings only a year and a half apart. It may have been his eagerness to keep up with his sister, but Hemi was walking at only 8 months old, a clever little boy who was ahead of all of his milestones. March 2015. Kerri-Ann had recently had a workplace injury where she quite seriously hurt her back. And because of that, she was off on workers' compensation where she was required to go see a neurosurgeon in Brisbane. Brisbane being about an 11-hour drive away. Kerri-Ann wasn't able to drive, so Shane was going to go along with the two kids in tow. But then, only days before they were due to leave, the family car broke down. This wasn't an easy fix, and the repairs meant the car wouldn't be drivable before they had to leave for the trip. And Kerri-Ann couldn't miss the specialist appointment, because it would be months before they could get another one, and it was a requirement for her to continue to receive workers' compensation, meaning she could potentially lose her job if they didn't go, and then lose income they relied on to survive. The only other vehicle the couple had access to was Shane's work utility truck, or ute as we call them in Australia. But the problem there was the ute only had two seats. Shane had to go with Kerri-Ann to drive her, so it was a race against time to find a babysitter for 18-month-old Hemi and his 3-year-old sister. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. Matthew James Ireland had been friends with Shane for about a decade. They had been in and out of each other's lives during that time, which of course happens when life gets in the way. Matthew and Shane meeting when they worked together in the coal mines. And recently Matthew had been doing small handyman type jobs around Shane's home. A favour for Matthew, who was trying to get back on his feet after some health setbacks of his own. Kerri-Ann and Shane trusted Matthew. He always showed up and did an honest day's work, and he had no criminal record. So when they were stuck in the situation where they had to leave their babies behind and had no family close by to step in and watch them, Shane asked Matthew if he could babysit Hemi and his sister for 2 days while they were gone. And even though he had never looked after the siblings before, Matthew was more than willing to help his friends out in their time of need, repay them for being there for him when he needed someone. The evening of March 24th, 2015, Matthew was left with the two toddlers, Kerri-Ann and Shane giving instructions of the children's routine, and that there was to be no alcohol in the home while they were gone. You see, Matthew had struggled with alcoholism previously, and the couple were aware of their friend's sober journey. And if you have been around anyone with addictions, it's best to have strong guidelines of what is acceptable in your home and not to have any temptations. Because even though someone is in recovery, there's always a risk of falling back into their addiction. But it's worth highlighting here, as far as Shane and Carrie-Anne were aware, Matthew's sober journey was going from strength to strength. And just because someone has had an addiction of any kind previously, that doesn't mean they can't be good parents or caregivers. So Carrie-Anne and Shane left without any concerns for their children's well-being. The couple arrived safely in Brisbane, and Carrie-Anne had her specialist appointment. They would have been absolutely exhausted after a full day's driving, and then what would have been a stressful appointment. They'd basically been awake for 24 hours at this point. Carrie-Anne and Shane were spending the night at a motel, and then driving back home at daybreak to arrive home the next night. So in total, they were gone for just over 48 hours. That night at about 6:30, they called the home and spoke to Matthew. And he told them everything was going great. The children could be heard playing in the background. Matthew telling the parents he was about to put the children to bed. So Carrie-Anne and Shane also went to sleep with the reassurance they were going to see Hemi and his sister the next evening. During the night, by the fate of the stars, both Carrie-Anne and Shane's phones' batteries ran flat. When they woke only hours later and charged their phones, they realised they had a bunch of missed calls and panicked text messages, that they needed to get home immediately, that Hemi was at Townsville Hospital in a critical condition. Now, because of Hemi's grave state and the sheer distance Carrie-Anne and Shane were away, Townsville Hospital were incredible and they organised flights so the couple could get to their son's side sooner rather than later. Hemi was initially brought to Moorabbin Hospital, but was air-flighted to Townsville Hospital and placed on life support, while medical staff tried to stabilise him. The prognosis was dire. Hemi was covered in 75 different bruises all over his tiny body. He had a ruptured spleen, a broken hip, and a severed brainstem. On arrival, Carrie-Anne and Shane were given the heartbreaking news that Hemi was brain dead, and there was no chance of survival. The following day, March 26, 2015, 18-month-old Hemi Goodwin Burke was taken off life support and he was pronounced dead, his mum and dad by his side. The ambulance officers who attended to the scene where Hemi was found injured would be the ones who contacted police. They had suspicion based on the nonsensical story that was being told that Matthew was possibly responsible for whatever happened to Hemi. And the police wanted the entire story from the last person to see the toddler alive. Matthew showed police where he had given the baby CPR in the bathroom. But when the investigators saw Hemi's bedroom, this was where the true picture of what happened here was revealed. His crib was covered in blood and feces. Blood was also found in significant amounts on the floor of the bedroom. So, not something you'd expect to see if this was some kind of tragic accident, like Hemi falling out of the crib, for example. Now, Matthew would tell a few versions of events, because there were inconsistencies with every story he would tell. In total, Matthew's story would change four times. He would say Hemi had a seizure. Actually, no. It was Hemi's three-year-old sister who caused her brother's fatal injuries, someone who she should have shared every milestone and memory with. That she had hit Hemi with a chair, which makes no sense why a three-year-old would do that. And even if she did, what in the superhuman strength would she have had to cause those injuries? Absolutely ridiculous. But with every new tall tale that Matthew would tell, the investigators would call him out on his story not making sense considering the extent of the injuries Hemi suffered. Eventually, though, Matthew would crumble under the interrogation and he would admit to what he had done to the 18-month-old boy. Basically, as soon as Carrie-Anne and Shane's car was out of sight, Matthew commenced drinking heavily. The next morning, March 25th, 2015, Matthew locked the children in the house and went to buy more alcohol. He spent the day sitting outside the apartment and drinking, only going inside to inflict abuse upon Hemi, abuse that would continue for a total of 2 to 10 hours, depending on which version Matthew was telling and to whom. Abuse that included kicking the toddler like a football, picking him up by the throat and squeezing, crushing his airways, pushing him down hard on the crib mattress. That night, Matthew had taken Hemi into the bathroom and violently jerked his leg out from underneath him, causing the baby to hit his head on the side of the bathtub. Hemi then lost consciousness, never to again wake up. At the time of Hemi's admission to hospital, police arrested and charged Matthew James Ireland with torture and grievous bodily harm. But after Hemi's life support was turned off and he passed away, the charges were upgraded to that of murder. Unfortunately, Hemi's parents, Kerri-Anne and Shane, weren't only dealing with the grief of losing their son, but also carrying the guilt of allowing someone who turned out to be a violent alcoholic to care for their children. And the public were just as shaming because they blamed the parents for what happened. It truly was a heartbreaking situation all around. But despite all the public opinion, that I believe unfairly against them, Kerri-Anne and Shane were determined to advocate for their little boy to ensure Matthew Ireland was found guilty and that he received the longest sentence possible. Now, unfortunately, the justice system is not always just, and Hemi and his parents would be unfortunate victims of this. While awaiting trial, Matthew Ireland would come to a plea deal. Supreme Court of Mackay. Matthew would front the judge and plead guilty to the lesser charge of manslaughter. Now, this completely caught Kerri-Anne and Shane by surprise. They never thought a downgrade of charges was possible. They thought it would either be an early guilty plea of murder or a criminal trial. So this blindsided them, and they obviously broke down because they lost their child and here is their killer, who admitted to basically torturing their child, being convicted of simple manslaughter. It did not make sense to them. And honestly, it still doesn't make sense to me today, 10 years later. And it adds another layer of tragedy to this story. Because Kerri-Anne and Shane never really discovered what happened to their son. And maybe that's a good thing given his injuries. I just know as a mother, I would want to know in detail what's happened. I would want that pain shared because what else could I do for my child in that moment? But Matthew's lawyers argued their client had been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, borderline schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, that since he had been arrested, he had been attacked 4 times in prison and now had to spend all day in protective custody. Now, unfortunately, the maximum sentence of manslaughter under Australian law is only 10 years. And remember that I've just said we have passed that point at the time of this recording. June 4th, 2017. Matthew James Ireland was sentenced for the murder of 18-month-old Hemi Goodwin Burke. And he wouldn't even receive the full possible sentence. He would only need to serve 8.5 years in jail. As his sentence was read, Matthew mouthed, "I'm sorry," to Hemi's parents while sitting in the dock. Which, I mean, means absolutely nothing at this point. In her victim impact statement, Kerri-Anne heartbreakingly said, quote, "This will not bring closure. This is a wound so deep it will never heal," unquote. And because at this point Matthew had already served 2 years in prison, he would be eligible for parole March 2019, in less than 2 years' time. Now this infuriates me, let alone Hemi's family who were present in the courtroom, and they verbally showed their anger from the public gallery, shouting, "You fucking murderer."
"Down has let Hemi down by allowing an early plea to the lesser charge of manslaughter and then seeking a light sentence. Today, the judge has not only let Hemi down, he's also letting down the Australian people. This vicious criminal will be eligible for parole in only, I think it's 17 months. I'm sure that the good, decent people of Australia will agree that this is not justice. We have continually been denied information, and our thoughts, opinions, and pleas have fallen on deaf ears. This, however, will not deter us, and we will continue to do whatever we can to make sure that this violent offender doesn't have the opportunity to do this again."
Now, I guess Australia doesn't have freedom of speech because Hemi's family had planned on wearing T-shirts with a toddler's face on them to the sentencing. Seems innocent enough in my opinion. However, Justice Duncan McMeekin made a motion that this was banned from the courtroom, arguing it cited an aggressive protest. And although the T-shirts were banned, as Matthew Ireland was led away after his sentencing, family members opened their jackets to reveal the banned T-shirts. But another victim in this story was Hemi's 3-year-old sister, who was witness to some of the abuse Matthew inflicted on her baby brother. For some time after Hemi's death, she would wake up with nightmares. She also experienced some abuse at the hands of Matthew Ireland. Partway through sentencing, Matthew would plead guilty to assault occasioning bodily harm, and this was against Hemi's 3-year-old sister. Matthew would admit to also striking her in the head while Kerri-Anne and Shane left the siblings in his care. This is despite the prosecution asking for 3 times that, 18 months. Now, Hemi's sister, who was now 6 years old, such bravery, because she stood up there before sentencing and gave a victim impact statement. She spoke about how she was scared the bad man was going to come back and get her. She even addressed Matthew directly, quote, "Why did you hit me? I am little and you're a big, strong man," unquote. After the sentencing, Kerri-Anne and Shane started a petition to the Queensland Attorney General to appeal Matthew's sentence. However, they would be sadly unsuccessful, and his ridiculously short sentence would be upheld. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. March 2019, Matthew Ireland would be eligible for parole, and Hemi's parents, Kerri-Anne and Shane, did all they could to try and delay his release, starting a petition on change.org, calling his potential paroles a matter of public safety. Thousands of people signed this petition. Obviously, there was outrage. A child murderer could receive such a lenient sentence. Kerri-Anne stating in media interviews Matthew's sentence was a disgrace, and she pleaded with the parole board to deny his application for release. Quote, "He wants to come out and live his life. That hurts big time. This guy thinks he can kill him and then 4 years down the track he can come out and go on living a merry life. I don't think that's fair." Unquote. Kerri-Anne and Shane had become advocates for harsher sentences for any crimes against children. That the victim's family should have greater weight to time served for perpetrators. And for a time, their efforts did make a difference. Matthew Ireland's first parole application was denied in 2019. Unfortunately, September 22, 2023, only one day before Hemi should have been celebrating his 10th birthday, Matthew Ireland would be released from prison. Hemi's family have stayed united in their grief and determined to keep their beloved little boy's memory alive. On his 10th birthday, they had a birthday cake with 10 candles and they sung Happy Birthday. After years of fighting for harsher sentences for child abusers and killers in Queensland, Kerri-Anne and Shane had a small victory. New legislation for longer sentences for those who murdered children. Under the new law, convicted child murderers will be jailed for life and will only be eligible for parole after 20 years. Still not good enough in my opinion, but it's a start.
So hello.
With bright brown eyes and a mischievous smile, Hemi Goodwin Burke was a lively 18-month-old boy.
He was a happy little baby.
Cheeky smile.
Yeah, loved his sister and loved riding in his little car.
Hemi Goodwin Burke's funeral was held March 8, 2015, at the St. Luke's Anglican Church. He was then laid to rest at the Mount Bassett Cemetery in Mackay, Queensland. Hemi would later be described by those who knew and loved him as a vibrant little boy with a massive smile and a compassionate demeanour. Nicknamed H-Bomb, Hemi was a quick learner. He had been taking swimming lessons before he could even crawl, which he adored. A true water baby. His best friend was his sister. Now, unfortunately, this sweet little girl is just another child who has to grow up without her baby brother. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice. And subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.